Fernando, welcome to Mornings.
Hey, thank you, thank you. I just like to clarify, Fernando, no one really calls me, not even my mom. It's not like Nano is my stage name, it's actually my real name. Yeah. Fernando says on some passport that's completely irrelevant.
I don't want to call you an irrelevant name. Nano, okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for bringing your guitar. But
sure, always.
Yeah, I know, I heard that. Do you ever go anywhere without that guitar?
Yeah, sometimes. I've learned to, but mostly I don't.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm really looking forward to hearing your sound. But before we do that, I'd love to hear about what's happening in Chile, in your hometown. Mm-hmm. What's it like there? Because last year was a big year, wasn't it?
Last year was a big social upheaval and lots of riots, lots of people protesting against big energy projects that were going to destroy big parts of Patagonia. And of course, we're all against that. And anyone who's a little bit reasonable understands that it's not the way to go. Nevertheless, the very powerful and very rich are being neglected, you know, to the people and just going, turning their heads away, pretty much. But it got to a point where it was millions of people on the streets. And fortunately, one of these big projects was stopped. You know, somehow we managed to do it.
Yeah, so the government put it on hold for 6 months.
Yeah.
Is there fear that it may get ahead again, or is that for you a win, as you say?
It is a win to a certain extent. Then the rest of the year, there was a lot of protest for the public education, because it's the only way that you can make the gap between the rich and well educated and the poor and bad educated, you know. And this has been a battle that has been lost so far. And even if millions of people were manifesting themselves out in the streets, the government was extremely arrogant in terms of looking the other way and having a very hard, full-on repression on the people also.
Your music, how did it reflect it, those two incidences? I know with the damming, you're very much at the head of that environmental mm-hmm. movement. Your mm-hmm. songs were representing exactly how people were thinking.
I think I was just lucky to be there at the right time, also to be a part of a generation that is feeling similar things. You know, I never wanted, or I hope I never will also have this concept that I'm the voice of a generation or whatever people tend to say, you know, which I think is very arrogant and very out of place. You're just your own voice, and sometimes you are able to connect with a lot of people who think and feel similarly, and you're able maybe through music to open them up a little bit and touch this very special place that cannot be reached by political speeches or by people saying very important things, you know, but rather through gentle and subtle music sometimes.
At one point there, you played in front of a crowd of 180,000 people. That's extraordinary. I mean, what was it like to see all of those faces and looking back at you and singing along too?
It's interesting, you know. It's once you get past a certain amount of people, I don't know, 10,000 or something, it's just like one big crowd, you know, and it becomes easier somehow. I'm getting used to now. It's funny that I'm playing today at the markets in Malam and tonight in Ponciana, like really, really, really small places, whereas my last gig in Chile a couple of days ago was for 35,000 people, and the next one when I go back is for 65,000 people. So it's all like very surreal, you know. Both things are surreal together.
Yeah.
And you just take it by the day, you know. Personally, I get a bit more nervous when it's little people, you know, when it's 20 people on the place. Then you have to really play for each one of them. It's 20 hearts, you know, whereas when it's 100,000 people, it's just like one big crowd that reacts as all crowds do, you know.
Why were you playing in front of a crowd that large? They were protesters,
yeah,
were they? It was part of the protest?
It was part of one of the biggest protests for the change in the educational system. And I've been a part of this movement since the beginning. I mean, since I've been playing for the elections of the university student organizations and long time before, you know, the thing got so full on. And all of a sudden we found ourselves from all the different walks of life, you know, somehow in the middle of the history of our country, in the making, you know. It was very full-on to feel this.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the damming as well, the plan was there to flood 6,000 hectares of pristine wilderness to provide electricity to power what is a very rapidly growing economy. Can you describe for us what concerned you so much mm-hmm. about that? And that 6,000 hectares of wilderness, what sort of wildlife would have been in there?
Well, this is Patagonia. This is one of the last completely virgin wild areas of the world where there are no people, there are no roads, there are no influence of human. And I think most Chilean people are by now aware that this is our biggest treasure. You know, there's a lot of sweet water, also huge forest with trees that are a couple of thousand years old, all, you know, lots of animals living there, and just an extremely beautiful part of the world. I mean, with glaciers and fjords, it's like a dream. It's a little bit like being in the Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah, and I saw pictures of it, and I couldn't believe the contrast between the sky and the land. It's so blue, so green, but yet that sort of almost volcanic.
It's a very raw energy.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
It's a very active part of the world. Things are happening there in nature in its own time, you know, and speed. And I recommend everyone, if you get a chance, you know, go there. It's really one of those very, very special places on the earth.
Is there room for tourism in Patagonia?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, absolutely. Luckily, it's not too massive that it doesn't destroy the place, but there's a lot of people going there. You know, you have to be fit, you have to be prepared for long walks, but it's worth it, absolutely. You know, and the whole thing with exploiting the resources there is based on a big lie, you know, from part of the Chilean government, which is the same people as the ones who want to build and have the companies. You know, they are saying that we need this energy, otherwise the country's going to stop growing, whereas actually what they need all this energy for is to take it all the way to the north of the country, where it's the big mining companies, which are also owned by foreign transnational companies who are taking the resources from Chile out and not leaving even taxes, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a long story. It's a very long story dating back to the 1800s with wars with Bolivia and Peru. I'm not going to get into it now. But pretty much like everywhere else, it's the ultra-rich, ultra-powerful, believing that they are more human than human and more powerful than the Earth, which obviously they are not. And we're just, everyone else is trying to get them to go a little bit into reason.
It's 21 past 9 on ABC Mid-North and North Coast, and Nano Stern is my guest this morning. We're broadcasting live from Mullumbimby Growers Market. It is a beautiful day. And look, Nano, thanks so much for coming down. And before you head off, the song that you performed to lead that environmental movement, what was it, and what were you singing about? What were the words? Because we're not going to be able to understand it because it's Spanish.
Yeah, well, there was a couple of songs. One is called La Raíz, which means the root, and it's all about how one day, eventually, when we're all gone, we've all managed to swipe each other out of the earth. The roots, we're gonna defeat cement again, and things are gonna go back a little bit to what they should be, you know, and how we're actually really running out of time, you know, and soon enough, you're gonna have to go into the museum to watch pictures of these things that we grew up with, you know, and in the meantime, everyone is away, busy playing with their cell phones or whatever, and they stop believing that they're able to dream, you know, and to my experience, I mean, the more you dream, the more things happen in real life. So it's important to keep there and to keep convinced of what your struggles are.
I'm loving this. Let's hear it, Nano Stern, from Chile.
Yeah, I'm going to play another song, though, a morning song about happiness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. La Felicidad.
Even better.
Cerrar los ojos, basta con mirar al sol, basta con dejar que el tiempo pase sin parar, basta con una guitarra, basta ver atardecer, basta con una sonrisa en la gran ciudad. Basta con reírse un rato, basta con bailar de a dos, basta con una canción antigua pa' cantar. Basta un trozo de la calle, dos amigos pa' jugar, basta con una pelota vieja pa' chutear. Pero cuando se me olvida que solo hay que respirar, se confunde noche y día y me empiezo a preguntar, ¿qué es lo que hago en esta vida? ¿Cómo se hace pa' sanar las heridas que no curan y no paran de sangrar? No es difícil darse cuenta, pero es fácil olvidar que nos faltan grandes cosas para la felicidad. Cerrar los ojos, basta con mirar al sol, basta con dejar que el tiempo pase sin parar, basta con una guitarra, dos amigos pa' cantar, basta con una canción antigua pa' bailar. mar se confunden noche y día y me empiezo a preguntar qué es lo que hago en esta vida, cómo se hace para sanar las heridas que no curan y no paran de sangrar. No es difícil darse cuenta, pero fácil olvidar que nos faltan grandes